Thank you, Jeremy, for the songs today. A lot of them having to do with what I'm talking about this morning, including that one we just sang. We all have friends. We have people that we're close to. And one of the things that we do when we have difficulties, when we have problems in our life, is that we share our concerns and our fears and our complaints. We share those with people that we know will have sympathy and who will comfort us and who will guide us and encourage us. It may be our spouse. I certainly hope it is, if you have one, someone that you can share life's troubles with, but also brothers and sisters, friends and family members, brethren in the Lord. You've got a problem, you can share those problems with the people who are sitting right here. But one person that we certainly should share our troubles with is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our friend. He is our help in the time of need. And one of the things that we should do when we have challenges and trials in our life is that we should get closer to God. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. This month I've been about drawing closer to God, and today I want to talk about handling strife and failure and pain. Being a Christian does not make us immune to the turmoil and strife of this life. We go through difficulties just like everybody else does. But what we have that the world does not have is a God who is on our side. Someone that we can turn to and pray to and seek his consolation and his help and his strength. And we should do that. We should not deny ourselves one of the chief benefits of being a Christian. And that is to draw close to him who is our friend, who is our comfort, our rock, our support in time of need. We should do that. Sometimes we don't. Let's talk about that for a few moments. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Premise of our series this month. And in our last couple of lessons, we've talked about things that we can do to encourage that in our lives, to invite God into our life, our daily life, so that he is right there with us, that he is close to us, that we feel his presence, that we receive his guidance and his comfort. We ought to do that. But when we face failure and disappointment and hardship, these things can challenge our faith. They can be a source of discouragement to the point where it actually interferes with our relationship with God. That can happen. And this concept is expressed throughout the Bible. Just a couple of passages that remind of this. The psalmist in Psalm 73 is a man who's discouraged. A man who's been dealing with hardship and heartache and challenges. And he sees people in his life who are wicked, who have no love of God in their heart. And yet they seem to be doing well, and it works on him. And he says these words in Psalm 73 in verse 2. He says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He says, "I almost lost my faith. When I saw these evil people doing so well," and as he goes on to describe, I'm not doing so well. I'm having a hard time. Psalm 73, again, verse 13, he says, "All in vain have I kept my heart clean. and washed my hands in innocence, for all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. Every day it's the same thing. Hardship, mistreatment. Why is it like this? It's not right. It's not fair. And it works on him. And he says, I almost lost my faith. I almost stumbled. And as he goes on to describe in that psalm, he reflected and he thought about it and he resolved it in his own heart, in his own mind. But that's a hard thing to do. Brethren, our faith is tested. And you know that's true. The Lord says this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, and talking about those who respond to the gospel, the seed of the word of God, that some of them are like on rocky soil. It sprouts up real quick, flourishes for a little while. He says, but when trials come, it tests them. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. Brethren, we are being tested. Our faith is tested. There's not a story in the Bible, a character in the Bible. All of the good and godly men and women that we read about in the Bible, there's not one of them that I know of that didn't go through some kind of tribulation or trial or difficulty or challenge. And in some cases, in many cases, so severe. The kind of thing that shakes a person to the core. The Lord does not promise that we will be immune or protected from trial. No, we will be tried. We will be tested. Our faith will be tested. And I was thinking about it this morning, and this occurs to me very often when we come here and we worship in this place, and I look about the room, and I see every single one of you. And I know your history. And I can't think of a person here who hasn't gone through something. Part of the privilege of knowing someone a long time is you know what those people have been through. And in some cases, we're talking about heartache and years of having to deal with difficult situations. Everybody here. People who have been faithful to God week in and week out, worshiped God, prayed to God, and yet they've had to deal with things. Personal, heartache, losing people, dealing with illnesses, dealing with the illness of someone they love and cherish and care about and they can do nothing about except to just bear it and to be there for that person and to help them, to deal with life's challenges day in and day out. And to lose people that you love, to lose children, to lose people who are near and dear to your heart. And to deal with mistreatment and lies and false accusations. And to deal with problems at work and to deal with problems in your family life, with your spouse. Challenge after challenge after challenge. There's not a person here who hasn't had to deal with something like that. And so the question is, do we let those things drive us away from God? What is the depth of our root? The root of our faith? Are we going to fall away because people do? And we've all known people who've done that too. That's not the answer. Think about this statement. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. To what end? To what purpose? Will leaving the Lord make the trials go away? Will abandoning God and your faith mean that you won't have to face difficulties anymore? No. Brethren, we all, everyone, every human being goes through the valley of the shadow of death. We all do. The question is, are you going to go through it with the Lord or without Him? James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. It's not a shock. It's not an unexpected occurrence. It is going to occur. It is going to happen. You will be put through a trial. The only question is how are you going to respond to it? And the amazing thing that James says here is rejoice. It's not the first thought that comes to mind when you go through a difficult patch. And yet James says, you need to be happy about that. Why? Why would I possibly be happy about a trial, a tribulation, the difficulty, a challenge? Because it can help you. It can make your faith stronger. That's one reaction. But in order to have that reaction, to have your faith tested and proven and to get stronger, you've got to get closer to God, as he goes on to say in that same book. He says, draw closer to God. He'll draw closer to you. That's the reaction. That's the way to deal with it. Get closer to God. Because your faith is going to be tested. It's going to happen. Man, when I think about the people in my life that I've known, I have known some people who have gone through it. There was a woman that I knew for a long time, a member of the church over in Bay City. Her name was Betty Edwards. And as long as I knew her, her body was racked with rheumatoid arthritis. And through the years that I knew her, it just got worse and worse slowly and steadily because she was bedfast, her body twisted, racked with the pain. And she was such a godly woman. And had such a positive attitude and was always so sweet and so kind. Man. That was a woman that was close to God. And you know, we always tell people, well, you know, think about other people that have it worse than you. And she was one of those people that you would think about, someone who had it worse than you. But that belies a truth that we all know, and that is that we all have our own trial to face, our own challenge to face. And it doesn't really do us a whole lot of good to look at other people and say, well, at least I'm better off than that person, because, you know, it is our trial that we face. While we can take comfort and consolation in the example of others, their faith, their steadfastness, we each have to make the same decision in the face of what we have to go through. Our faith is being tested. What are we going to do? Tribulation can drive a wedge between you and God. It absolutely can, and it often does with people. Because they blame God. It's so typical. It's so natural even. It's so easy to blame God for our trouble. It's kind of an outgrowth of having a confidence and an awareness that there is a God, that He's there, that He's active, that He's doing all these wonderful and marvelous things. And yet now, at this moment in my life, things are terrible. And so the natural question for a believer, the natural question is, Why isn't God doing anything about this problem? I have such faith and confidence that God is real, that He exists, that He does good, that He has blessed me. But yet now, in this moment, I'm going through this. Where is He? It's really the outgrowth of faith. It's this question that we raise up in our mind. Where is God now? We read passages like this one that I've already referred to in this series in Gideon's case. Gideon was trying to save a bit of food to run away from the Midianites who had been afflicting Israel for 7 years. For 7 years, the Midianites had come and taken everything from them. And it seems clear from later on in the story that Gideon had lost some of his brothers in this conflict. And the question in Gideon's mind is, where is God? Why isn't God doing anything? And his words here in Judges 6 and verse 13, Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all His miracles which our fathers told us about?" And I know, and you know, that that is a question that comes up in the back of your mind when you go through something. And it goes on for 7 years or longer. And you say, I've asked God, I've prayed to God. Can't He just do something about this? I understand. You understand. There's not a one of us here that doesn't have a sympathy for Gideon here. And you can say, well, Gideon is wrong because the Israelites had been disobedient to God. And they had committed idolatry and God was punishing them. And instead of blaming God, Gideon should have been blaming his own countrymen. Well, that's true. As far as it goes, that's right. And yet I have to believe that Gideon, at some point, given the nature of the man, I have to believe that he had asked for God's help. And so far had not gotten any answer. And so how did Gideon feel about God at this point in his life? Well, I gather from these words that he didn't feel particularly close to God. And that can happen. That can drive a wedge between you and your God. When you ask for relief, you ask for deliverance, you ask for it, and you don't get it. In Job chapter 2, these are the words of the devil. God says, "You see Job? You see how he's remaining faithful to me?" And Satan says, "Skin for skin." Job 2, verse 4, "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." Now that is an accusation that proved to be untrue. It's not beyond the devil to accuse us of things, to impugn our integrity, and to lie about it. But the truth of the matter is that in the case of so many people, the devil would be exactly right. That people have their breaking point. They have a point at which things get so bad and so tough and so hard that people's hearts grow cold to God and they turn against God. And it does happen. And the devil makes it happen. The devil wants it to happen. And in the case of Job, he wanted it to happen. Trying to make it happen. But it didn't. It's the wonderful story of Job. It's that Job was pushed and pushed and pushed. He lost his possessions. He lost his family. He lost his status. He lost his health. He lost everything. But he would not deny God. But he wondered. He questioned. Job 13:24, "Why do you hide your face and count me as your enemy?" Do you think Job felt particularly close to God during this period of trial? Not really. He would not falsely accuse God. He would not charge God with evil. And yet, he just believed that God had turned his back on him. And he didn't know why. Psalm 77, verses 7 through 9. Psalmist expresses some of this feeling when he asks the question, will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? That sounds pretty forlorn, pretty desperate, doesn't it? And yet, it's almost like a rhetorical question if you go on and read the rest of the psalm. Because the answer is no. As much as we are tempted to feel this way at times, for those of us who have faith in God that has roots that go a little bit deeper than the surface rock, the answer is no. God has not abandoned us. God's compassion is real and ongoing and present in my life. And he is helping me and he is supporting me. And I may not always be able to see it or understand it. But God is at work in my life. And I believe that and I have confidence in that. We must not let the tribulations that we face come between us and our God. They are tests. They are trials. They do work on us. But they don't have to destroy us. And they won't destroy us. As long as we draw closer to God, we use tribulation as an opportunity to pull him even closer into our lives. And that's the answer. Draw closer to God in the day of trial. Don't push him away. 2 Samuel 22, verses 4 and 5. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and have been saved from my enemies. The waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. That's what you do in the midst of trial. You may feel like death itself has got its grip on you and is pulling you down. You just cry out to God. And somehow, in some way, God will deliver you. In his way, his time, I don't know how. God will deliver you. That's the message of all of these stories of people like David who face trials and tribulations. And people who needed God's help in desperate times. Because they were in desperate times. God's help doesn't mean that you won't go through difficulties. It means that he'll be there with you through them. And that's what you have to believe. This passage in Job, again, expresses this thought so beautifully. After hearing all of these messengers come and deliver one after another, these hammer blows of bad news. You've lost your possessions. You've lost your children. You've lost everything. You are beset by your enemies. What does Job do? Job gets up, tears his robe, shaves his head. He fell to the ground in worship. In worship. And he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Job had his difficulties. And as I say, you know, he didn't understand what God was doing. He didn't understand. And he questioned it. He struggled with it. But through it, he worshiped God and he blessed God. That's what he did. And we read these words in Job chapter 6 and verse 10. He says, "Then I would still have this consolation, my joy in unrelenting pain, that I had not denied the words of the Holy One." That strikes me as being so amazing. In all of the things that happened to Job, and all of the things that he endured and suffered, he had one consolation, one joy, and that is that he had not broken with God. And sometimes that's all you got. Sometimes that's all you have. But you have that. You know, I don't know exactly how to think about Job after all of this is over with. Because we know at the end of the story that God restores his fortunes, he restores family, he restores his health, and he has more than he had before. But more than that, more than all of that, what Job had was a continuing relationship with God. That was even deeper, that was even stronger, that was even more committed, that the devil could not break him, break his faith, break his confidence in God. I don't know why we have to go through these things. When you face them on an individual basis, why is he going through that? Why is she having to deal with that? I don't know. But I know this, that through it, there is a consolation, there is a joy, there is a blessing, there is a benefit, there is an outcome. And that is to have God in your life and to know that as he is always there for you, that you have made the firm commitment to always draw him close. Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, I shall rescue you, and you will honor me." It is an honor to God. It is an honor to God that we can give to God, that even in the face of challenges and difficulties, that we call upon him and we trust him. Psalm 55 and verse 22, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." Cast your burden on the Lord. That's what you do with it. Again, Jonah, down there in the belly of that great sea creature, he says, "In my distress, I called the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." It's a foreshadowing of death and resurrection, of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That even in death, there's hope for us to call on the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8, "If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord." So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. I don't know what your life has in store for you. I don't know what challenges you're going to face and how long you're going to have to face them and what you're going to have to deal with and if they'll ever get any better, I don't know. But here's our calling, friends. Whether we live or die, it's for the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 10 and 16 and following. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. All circumstances. Give thanks. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He is the one constant in your life that will never fail you. In conclusion, brethren, build a close relationship with God as the foundation for your life. Do it in good times, do it in bad times, and just keep on doing it. You just keep drawing God close to you. When things go well, honor Him, thank Him, bless Him. When things are difficult and hard, cast your burdens on Him. Ask for His help. Trust in Him. Say to Him, God, I don't know what You have in store for me, but whatever it is, I trust You. And however long it lasts, I trust You. And I know You'll get me through. You do that. Draw close to God. It'll be well. Turn to Him in joy. Turn to Him in sorrow. In troubled waters, hold Him even closer. And His peace will come. It will come. And there will be a day without trial. A day without tears. A day without challenges to your faith. For when you stand in the very presence of God Almighty, and you are truly and forever close to Him, then you will know and you will understand that all the trials, all the tribulations, they were worth it. Call upon the Lord today. Whatever you're facing, and I know it may be challenging, call upon the Lord. And if you've been distant from Him, you've been cut off from Him because of your sin, come near to God through Jesus Christ. Obey the gospel. Be baptized. Join Him. And live your life in His service. If you need to do that, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.
Thank you. Father, we come to you now thanking you for this hour that you've given us to come here and worship and sing praises to you. We thank you for everything that you do for us in this life. We have a lot of blessings to always be thankful to you for, and help us to always be thankful, and help us to always never be, help us to not keep in mind that everything comes from you. Help us to be strong in our struggles in this life. Help us to always lean on you when we need to. Help us to never fall away when we go through our struggles. Be with those mentioned, Bill. Be with John right now as he deals with his illness. Be with us now as we depart. Forgive us of our sins. In your son's name we pray.